Hi, and welcome to the Body Positive Goddess podcast, where we talk all things body positivity, self-love, and self-acceptance with a sprinkle of magic. My name is Freya Serafina, and I will be your host. Hello, everyone. You might have noticed a slightly new intro. I think I mentioned in the last episode that I had changed my stage name. And while this isn't a performance for me, all of my names on social media and my website and all that stuff have changed to Freya Serafina. So I figured I would change my intro as well so I don't confuse anybody if you go looking for me somewhere. So welcome to another Body Positive Goddess podcast episode. It's been a minute, but some really exciting things are coming. Interviews are back. I'm creating a lineup of interviews right now, so I'm really excited to not just sit down and talk to people, because that's always fun, but I'm also really excited to share experiences with people. What I notice when I do the interviews, there's a lot of, oh shit, me too. And I've found that very helpful when doing this podcast, because as I'm sure you've heard me say before, it's not always easy to tell your deep, dark fears and secrets and emotions and pain and trauma. And it makes it easier when you can connect to someone else's story. And so even though a lot of the people that come on and I get to talk to, we don't have the same background, we don't do the same thing, even some of our experiences are different. Like when I interviewed a mom or when I interviewed a singer, like those are things that I don't do. I'm not a mom yet. So the experiences are different, but the way in which we feel pain and trauma and carry it in our bodies is very similar. And I think that this interconnectedness that people feel when it comes to healing their bodies and healing that past trauma around body issues is very similar. And it's rewarding when you get to share that with someone else. So I'm glad that I get to share it with anyone who's listening. I wanted to talk today about some stuff that's been coming up for me. Well, we just had Valentine's Day. I hope it wasn't terrible for everyone. I hope people had lots of wonderful experiences if you do celebrate Valentine's Day. My boyfriend and I kept it super low key. We went and played some games at Dave & Buster's. Some girl got very drunk and the cops had to come remove her from the bathroom. It was a surprisingly eventful time. She's fine, don't worry. Definitely super low key. We don't celebrate a lot of like traditional holidays, but it was a nice time to be together and just chill, hang out, love each other, you know. But I know that that can be a very triggering time for people. It's been a very triggering time for me in the past. It even brought up stuff. It brought up a lot of stuff. It brought up this idea of worthiness and usefulness in a relationship. And I actually went to therapy about 2 days ago. I don't know when you're listening to this. I went to therapy on Saturday, as I do. I went to therapy and I brought up my feelings around this, around my need and desire to be useful in a relationship. And what do I mean by that? What I mean is like, oh, you need the car? Yeah, sure, no problem. You can take it. Oh, you're hungry? Yeah, don't worry. I'll make all the food. I'll do everything. Don't worry. Just sit there. Oh, you need some money? Don't worry. I got you. I'll do this for you. Oh, you need this? Oh, you need that? Whatever it is, don't worry. I got it. I can do it. I can do it all. And then I burn out. Or I start to build feelings of resentment towards people. Or I get scared. I get scared that I'm being used. Or I get angry. I guess anger and resentment aren't the same feeling, but they definitely live in the same vein. I get like sad, and it took me a really, really long time after dealing with, you know, past abusive relationships, physical, mental, emotional, sexual, past family history and that kind of trauma and that sort of abuse, and even past friendship. I feel like we never talk about friendship abuse enough, or maybe like even at all. We just go, oh, that was a toxic friend. Oh, that was a bad friend. You can be abused in your relationships with your friends. And maybe that is an episode for another day. But all of this stuff wrapped into one. And now you have all of these emotional and mental experiences that make up the history of you in your emotional body, right? And it took me examining all that sort of stuff to be like, oh, wow, my idea of worthiness is linked to my usefulness. But not my usefulness to myself. Oh, no, no, no. My usefulness to somebody else. And I thought about, well, why is that? Why is that? And I go back and I look at, like, say, elementary school, middle school, high school, whatever the fuck, right? If you didn't get good grades, you got in trouble. I'm speaking about myself here. I don't know what your life was like. Hopefully it wasn't as stressful as mine, but something tells me a lot of us had similar experiences, especially if we had similar family dynamics. It's always like I would get like a 96, and they'd be like, where'd the other 4 points go? And like all of that sort of stuff, right? Like your grades aren't good enough. You've got to be smart. You've got to be disciplined. You got to pay attention. You got to be respectful. In order to be successful, you have to make a lot of money. You have to achieve all these goals, blah, 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 blah. All that stuff, right? And then if that's not bad enough, let's wrap in the expectations of other people on our bodies. So if we start with our parents or grandparents or other family members, you know, if fat was bad in your home and you are fat or even just bigger than what they deem acceptable, now you've got this other thing you've got to live up to. Now you've got these other expectations that you need to meet. And in order to be good and worthy of love and acceptance, you have to meet these standards. And if you don't, you're bad. You're a bad person because you didn't meet someone else's expectations of you. LOL, right? So, okay, fine. Sure. So now you've got all that. And for the most part, we go into high school, we go into college, out of college. And unless you studied psychology or something, you're not often examining where a lot of that stuff comes from until you go to therapy years later and your therapist is like, let's talk about your childhood, right? Unless we had very severe emotionally or physically abusive homes, we're not often thinking about, and even some people who've been in that situation, we're not often thinking about what is the kind of trauma from my childhood and my family and my friendship dynamics that I'm bringing into my relationship, my romantic relationships. And then if your romantic relationships are fucked, so let's set our childhood aside for a moment. And let's say we don't have, let's start with the friends. Let's say we don't have very supportive friends, or we have friends who also make us feel like being skinny is the best thing to be, or slimming down, or the best use of our time is just going out and partying and all of this stuff. That can be very challenging because now you've got this other perception of what's socially acceptable, what's fun, what makes you fun, what makes you attractive. And then we take that into our romantic relationships. And if those have also been fucked, like most of mine have been, if those have also been really terrible, then, I mean, you're like affronted on all sides. And now I personally have this notion that if I'm not successful, if I don't do well, if I don't prove myself, then I am not worthy or deserving of love and affection. And that really, really does come down to what I look like when what I see when I look in the mirror, because I've gained some happy relationship weight. I'm not going to lie to you. I did the dangerous thing of getting on the scale because I looked at myself one day and I thought, okay, who's this? You know, I've been having some aches and pains in my body and I haven't been feeling well. I got diagnosed with PCOS. I can't remember if I said that on the last episode or not. And I started really examining my habits and, you know, my coping mechanism centered around food, all that sort of thing. And I was like, all right, well, what's going on in my body? Let's assess. And, you know, I found myself to be very insecure and a little bit unhappy. And that transferred over into my relationship. And so because I felt unworthy in my looks, which, by the way, my boyfriend absolutely loves my body. There is not one moment where he has ever made a comment, a negative comment on my body. He's never made me to feel less than beautiful or wanted or desirable. This is all me. This is all me, baby. All me. And all of my other alter egos, just me. And so I'm like feeling really shitty. And so I start to overexert myself in other areas of my life because I've had, you know, these abusive relationships in the past. I have literally had boyfriends be like, you should be grateful that I'm even with you considering how big you are. So you should just do everything I say. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That wasn't a good time, was it? So in this relationship, I think subconsciously I started overexerting myself. And I was like, yeah, I can take on this and I can take on this and I can take on this. And then in my professional life, I was like, I can do X, Y, Z, and also A, B, C, D, E, F, G all at once. And then I had like a bit of a mental breakdown because I'm seriously stressed and seriously overwhelmed. And my depression has actually been pretty good. But when I had that breakdown, it was like that downward, that negative spiral, because everything is connected. Everything is connected. And I just kept thinking, like, why am I doing this to myself? No one in the circle of family, friends, and loved ones that I have created for myself is expecting any of these crazy things from me. Why am I doing them? And that's when I got to deep diving. And I discovered, not so gently or nicely, that my worthiness is linked to my usefulness. And if I am no longer useful, then my boyfriend's going to leave me, or my friends aren't going to be my friends anymore, or my family's going to hate me. And that is a bit difficult to sit with. And it came up quite often, more recently in the last few weeks. And I really think it got triggered by this realization that I've gained this happy relationship weight. I'm very happy in my relationship. This is probably the first like non-toxic, positive partnership that I've ever been in. And I'm just like not worried about all the other negative things I've been worried about. So I'm eating what I want, I'm doing what I want. I'm sitting a lot more because, one, we're hanging out a lot, but also two, I'm a full-time PhD student and it's online. So I'm doing a lot of sitting. I'm not moving as often. I gained some weight. Not a big fucking deal, right? In my little monkey brain, it became a very big deal all of a sudden. And because I started to feel insecure, and because I was able to do, now I'm not able to do as much for my boyfriend. Not that he ever asked me to fucking do any of this shit, but because I'm not able to do as much because I am now doing the PhD and I'm working two jobs and I'm doing XYZ, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, oh my God, my usefulness is gone. My usefulness is gone. And I start getting these like negative emotional thoughts. And I'm like, holy shit, I start getting triggered. I haven't figured out exactly what the triggers are just yet, because I only notice I have been triggered when I'm in the middle of my emotional response to the trigger. And I go, oh, whoa, 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 pump the brakes. Oh, shit. Oh, shit. But usually you can't pump the brakes, right? Because you're already in it. You're in it to win it, baby. You're yelling or going, where are you? When are you coming home? Who are you with? Things that I'm actually not fucking worried about with him whatsoever. And you start doing these things because you start thinking, I'm not good enough. Therefore, he must be trying to get it somewhere else. He's not. I'm way, way, way good enough. I am better than good enough. And on top of that, your partner's actions, if they go and they disrespect the boundaries of your relationship, have nothing to do with you and everything to do with them. And these are things I remember when I'm not fucking tripping balls off of my triggers. I don't know, man. Your emotional body is a crazy place. It's like its own person. And every once in a while, it gets loose and it starts going fucking batshit crazy and running around all over the place. And I do not know how it gets out, but it does. And I had to kind of make peace with that a little bit. And I had to go, all right, well, I'm going to have a conversation with my partner about this and explain to them that this is what happens sometimes and I'm working on it and that's the best I can do. But a darker thought had come to me. And unfortunately, it came to me based on, you know, past experience I've had. I've talked about assault on this podcast before. I've talked about assault in relationships. It came to me because of that thought. And I thought, you know, how many times had I actually said yes when I wanted to say no because I wanted to be useful and I wanted to be wanted? And ooh, that was not a good thought to sit with, you know, and not just, you know, romantic relationships, right? How many times did I say yes when I wanted to say no because I wanted to be useful and I wanted to be wanted? In my romantic relationships, in my familial relationships, in my friendships, in my workships, my work relationships. Whew. And I was almost afraid. I haven't fully explored the answer to that yet because I'm afraid to. I like scraped the surface on that one and went, I don't know. That feels like quicksand or one of those like like holes in the bottom of the ocean floor and it's like spinning and for some reason like it shouldn't be there but it is and you're slipping into it. How do you get out of that? You know, I don't know. But I think, oh boy, I think I'm gonna have to get in there and take a look. And I do not like tight spaces. So I am afraid of what's going to happen when I really start to dive deep into that. But I think, I do think it's necessary. I do think it's necessary. So when I start doing that, I'm sure I will have a lot to report back on. I'll keep you all posted. But yeah, how many times did I say yes when I wanted to say no? You know, or how many times did I let someone get away with something? How many times did I let someone get away with something or let someone hurt me or let someone take advantage of me or put myself in an uncomfortable situation when I really wanted to say no because I felt like if I said no, I would not be useful and therefore I was not worthy and not wanted. Probably a fucking lot. So I feel like this is going to be a difficult exploration. And I think that it's not going to be a one episode exploration. I'm sure there's a lot of things that are going to come up and I'll hop on and talk about them as they come up. But what I thought about is that a lot of the time when we go to uncover these things or examine our past trauma. We don't have like a self-care practice in place for when we are done. And I don't mean done like as in never gonna look at that again, because as we know, this is like a lifelong journey and process, right? But say that we meditate for 20, 30 minutes. Some of you are probably really good at meditation. I'm not. I might do a ritual instead. That's usually helpful for me. And I'll write everything out and I'll feel that pain in my body. Or if you're meditating and you bring up some of the answers to the questions that I posed, and then you finish whatever that is for that time being, then what? Then what? Then what the fuck do you do with all those emotions that just fucking came up? What, go about your day? Like just, okay, well, that was nice. Remember this really fucking traumatizing thing from junior high school? Let me just go to work now? Like, no, it can't possibly work that way. I mean, it doesn't for me anyway. So I was thinking about like a grounding technique. I think I'm gonna think a bit more about it and develop it more, but I did pull some cards with this idea of the aftermath. It's kind of like aftercare when you have sex. I don't know if you've ever heard of that concept before, but you know, there's foreplay, then you have sex, and then there's aftercare. And it's like the thing that you and your partner do after you have sex to like come down and still feel connected and feel like in this loving space, and like it could be anything that you both enjoy, right? And I thought of it kind of like grounding aftercare after a really big like emotional purging of sorts. I mean, I'm sure there's stuff that everyone does already, like maybe you take deep breaths, maybe you make yourself some tea, maybe you take a bath or a shower, or you go for a walk. Like all of that stuff is like really great. And it's funny that I pulled the earth card when I was thinking about grounding, because literal earth, ground, like I'm sure you're familiar with the concept of actually putting your feet on the earth to feel connected and grounded. And that's what this one is all about. It says for its purpose, it says feeling lost, feeling like you don't belong, feeling a complete disconnect from the very source that sustains you. Take this card into your heart and allow it to connect you to the sacred ground once again. So even just getting out there, grabbing some soil or some herbs, you're watering your plants or your flowers, sitting on the earth and just taking some deep breaths, feeling the wind on your face, the breeze in your hair, the sunshine on your face. You know, I was going to say it's getting warmer, but in New York, we had a snow squall yesterday, whatever that means. And it was very cold, but we are shifting towards spring. And so the sun is coming. But then I pulled two other cards that I thought was kind of fascinating. Because I called an ancestors card, calling upon ancestors and loved ones. And I called a forgiveness card along with that. When the weight of resentment is too much to bear, when you're ready to be free of the shackles that bind you to anger and blame, apply this card. And I thought it was interesting that I pulled that with the ancestors and the loved ones card, because this idea of worthiness and usefulness, like who puts it in our heads, right? I mean, it has to come from somewhere, and it comes from society, and oftentimes it comes from who's closest to home, family, loved ones, friends. And when I first pulled this ancestors card, I was like, because I reacted from my own personal place, and I was like, no, like my mom talks terribly about my body, and that's where a lot of my trauma comes from. Like, why would I do that? And then I immediately pulled the forgiveness card, and I was like, oh. I was like, oh, okay, I guess, fine. But it, unfortunately, it's kind of true. I think I hold on to a lot of anger and a lot of resentment. And I think it physically weighs down the body. I think that anger can cause illness in the body. You know, it's just, we're holding so tight, angry, and we're just, it's like we're squeezing all of the time and there's no release. And if we're squeezing all the time, that initial release is going to be very, very painful. Very painful. Forgiveness is a very difficult thing to do. It is very difficult. So don't go into this lightly, right? I mean, ground yourself with the earth. And there's gonna be a lot of stuff that comes up, and it's gonna be very painful. And a lot of it might have to do with the people who claim they love you the most. Well, they might, but they also might not be able to see past their own needs and desires, and they put that onto you. And you can forgive people without forgetting. That's for damn sure. And you can also forgive people and not let them back into your life. That's okay too. That is okay to set that boundary. So don't forget that either. Whew, there's a lot going on. But I am very excited again about doing some interviews. So I'm setting that kind of stuff up. So if there's anything that you want to have us talk about, or anything that's coming up for you, the best thing to do is to send me an Instagram message. Send me a message, Freya Serafina, and tell me what you want us to talk about. I'm going to have a bunch of different people on, different perspectives, but we can definitely weave in some answers to questions and that sort of thing. So also let me know if you do any of this grounding sort of work, or if you do any meditation or rituals or anything around that question of how many times did you say yes when you wanted to say no? And I will also report back. Whew, good luck. Thank you for being here and listening, and I will talk to you very soon.